to be born. He is born of water and spirit. Tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Now he's had to say twice to him, I'm telling you the truth. Did you ever have somebody that just couldn't believe what you were saying? You're like, well, I'm telling you the truth. Okay? So he's letting him know. And he says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I want to stop right there because I want to tell you something. I'm human, but that doesn't mean that I don't freak out. That doesn't mean just because I love the Lord that I don't get hurt. Just because I love the Lord doesn't mean that I don't cry and feel sorry for myself sometimes. Just because I love the Lord doesn't mean that there's times when I just fully obey without questioning and I just, no, I'm human. Okay? So he's letting him know we're all born of the flesh, but there's something to help you overcome that, and it's your spirit. And guys, nobody can take this from you. You have to give it to them. But here's Nicodemus, and do you remember how it says he came to him? He came at night, okay? So we don't know, is that because the big dogs have sent him to check him out and find out what he knows and how much power he has and how he's doing these tricks? Did he do it because he's never seen anything like it and he truly wanted to know? Was he afraid to be seen with Jesus, so he's coming in at the dark of night? It doesn't matter why he came, because Jesus saw a heart that was hungry because he spent time with him. And he comes into him, and he's not, hey, get away from me like he was with the other people and leaving. He's listening to this man. I want to tell you something. I don't care why you're here tonight. I don't care, you know, I'm so grateful you're here, but whatever your motive was, the truth is there's something that God wants to do in each one of us tonight, regardless of why we came. Because he knows whether you're just curious or whether there's a hidden agenda, you know, ooh, we're going to get some Valentine candy. Ooh, you know, I'm going to give me some free coffee. I don't care what your agenda is. And by the way, there's no Panera tonight, so I apologize. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. He loves us and he wants to penetrate our whys and become the who that works in our life. So while Nicodemus could have just been curious, Jesus recognized his influence that Nicodemus was trying to hide in the dark, and Jesus is going to bring him to the light. So he comes in. And he says to him, you know, Nicodemus says, how can this be? You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. Now he's reminding him, you know everything. Now it could be, one train of thought here, is that when he says, you don't see the wind, right? But you know that it does whatever he says. Because Nicodemus, being a wise man who knew all the works that had been recorded in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37. You remember the story about the dry bones? And he said, prophesy to these bones. And he began to say, these dry bones come together. And there was a clicking and a clacking, and the bones came together. And then he said, the wind, that's the ruach, the wind of God began to fill them with breath. Do you know that you and I had the ruach? We had the spirit, the breath of God come into us. Do you know that when you're hurting and crying, when nobody else sees it, that the ruach comes in the room and breathes inside of you a life that gets rid of the old stuff that wants to kill you and breathes something that's special to you? Ooh, he's so good. And he had to be thinking, you know, what about this, the wind of God? And he's telling him, even if he wasn't even bringing that back to his remembrance, like, you're smart enough to know that God doesn't need, you know, man to do this for him. Hey, listen, What a great idea right now. If somebody would just read the Bible and make a video instead of, you know, like the living dead, make a video of raising up people with the Spirit of God, clicking their bones back together instead of tearing them apart. I mean, like, there's some money to be made there. And it's all these stories are in the Bible, okay? So he comes in, and he has to be thinking now. But get it, they're at night. So you're thinking, I'm thinking they're not in a building. I'm thinking they're either walking outside or up on the roof, which they tended to do. They all had rooftops so that they could experience the breeze because there wasn't any air conditioning, be stale in there. And in fact, most of the time in Jewish homes, there was always a fire going because that's how they cooked. So here they are. Maybe the breeze is even hitting his face for him to realize you can't identify that, but you know that it's real. He's getting him past what he knows into what he doesn't know. So there's a little warning for each of us. Because when we know everything, you'll feel independent of God. So he wants to show us some things that we can't answer for. So he comes in here and he says to him, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you in earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So he's giving him credit. You know these stories already. You remember that the snakes came out and bit the people out of rebellion. And the only thing, it was when Jesus told them how to lift up that bronze snake that came in. Because if you've been bit by a snake, you got to have an anti-snake venom. And I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is the anti-snake venom for every lie, every trap, every trick that's ever going to happen. And when he's lifted up, healing will come. And he's reminding him, don't you even remember that? Lift me up, not your knowledge. Because there's something deeper than what we know in these stories. And then he goes into this. Love this. Probably, wouldn't you say John 3:16 is like one of the most known and quoted verses in the Bible, right? Like if I ask who could stand up and quote that verse, and most of us do out of King James. I know I do. Like, how many people in here, I'm not going to ask you to do it, but tell the truth. How many people in here could stand up and quote John 3:16? See, I would say that's a pretty good, you know, turnout, okay? And that's why I wanted to use this tonight, because it's the crux of what he's saying that changes people from being know-it-alls to be believe-it-all. He says, quote it with me if you know it. We'll quote from the King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, I wish I would have saved those prizes and given them out right now, because y'all were not looking at the back of that paper. You genuinely, truly knew that. Good job. So here's what happens. He comes in and he tells him this. Now realize, he knows that he's a Pharisee. He knows that he's in the Sanhedrin. For whatever motive he's sent that we don't know, but Jesus does. Do you realize Nicodemus is the first person he tells what's going to happen to him? He didn't tell the disciples, but he told Nicodemus, you're talking to the one, I'm going to die for you because my Father sent me. I want to tell you tonight, every one of you, get in with the Holy Spirit and let him tell you, I've already died for you. I've already paid the price for you. This is doable. Anytime the enemy tells you it's not doable, you know you're doing something right, because he didn't want you to keep believing. So we're going to stop right there because I want you to look at something. I didn't read on down to verse 30, but verse 30 says, he must increase and I must decrease. So he's coming in here and he's giving Nicodemus some musts, M-U-S-T-S's. In verse 7, he says, you must be born again. In verse 14, he says, and Jesus must be lifted. In verse 30, he says, he must increase and I must decrease. These are things that have to happen, guys. And the reason he's telling him this is because he's trying to do everything by the flesh and by knowledge. And belief is not going to be intellectual agreement. You are not, I just really don't believe that you're going to win many people by arguing. I think they're just going to get tired of you and say they agree just to shut us up. AKA Jehovah's Witness. I'm just saying. Right? But nobody wants a battle in the flesh, okay? Nobody wants to be beat down with words and, well, if you were smart, you'd, you know, or belittled to bully them into believing. So he's coming in and he's saying, dude, it's not your intellect. If it was, tell me about the wind. Show me the source of that. Hey, if it was about your intellect, why don't you understand that you can be born again? Because there's things we don't know. But we have to come to him with an open heart and an open mind both. So he comes in, he lets him know these are things that are going to have to happen. So he wants things to come to light. Let's jump down and read verse 20 and 21. Because he's still talking to him. He said, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Don't you think he was kind of calling him out there? Yeah. But it's after he's already told him that he loves him enough to die for him. See, I don't think people want us to set them straight. I think people want us to set them free with love. When somebody comes to me, I don't want them coming to me to tell me how it is and what I need to do and this is how you need to get this straight in your life. If you want to know the love of God, really, that kind of thing, I'm pretty sure I don't want to know. But when somebody comes to me and you can tell that they're sincere, man, there's times people come to, and you can tell, even for you and I, isn't it hard sometimes to tell somebody the truth, but you love them enough that you're going to risk their rejection to tell them the truth, because later I don't want to be accountable. I don't want to have those regrets, because regrets are the thing that keep you up at night. Regrets are the thing that the devil uses to pick in your wounds and your insecurities with. And I want to know at the end of the day that I've done what he wanted. Guys, there's nothing wrong with going back and looking over how you responded in a situation and saying, did I do that right? But there's something wrong if you go back and you're accused because you didn't do it right and you live in fault finding and guilt and condemnation, because that separates you from God. I had an instance this week and I just kind of went in and shared it with Steve, because when I got to thinking about it, let's see, how do I want to word this? You want to love all people, right? But you don't want to condone bad behavior. That's a fair statement. So I'm trying to love all people, and all of a sudden something happens that I know is not going to go well for me. There's the truth, okay? Because it can be misinterpreted. And boy, if you've ever heard a true statement, let me just tell you, if people want to find something wrong, they'll find it wrong, okay? For instance, you could say, man, that gay, she's got special interest. That's a true statement. But the truth of that is, my special interest is that you and I are right with God and that we're walking in unity and love. That's my special interest. See, if you don't tell the whole thing, you can put anything on it. People want to find something wrong, they will. So here I am, and I'm like, did I do that right? And I was like, and I just heard the Lord say to me when I was debating, you know, in my mind, and you're in the middle of a situation, you don't have time to pre-think it. That's when the Spirit of God and the Word of God and His character comes alive, and you're like, I just heard the Lord say, okay, that's a soul before it's anything else. Okay, then I can do this, right? So I need His voice. I need His Spirit because it's in us. And I'm telling you, rocks will pummel in front of you. The hardened heart will melt and warm up when we keep fueling His love. I'm telling you, it will happen. May not be in my lifetime, but it's going to happen because that's His Word. So He comes in and He's telling, you know, you got to believe this. You have to believe this. Nicodemus had choices, and so do you and I, but I want to talk to you about believe just a little bit. To believe means there's got to be a transfer of affection, okay? It's not just all mental. It's got to be with your emotions as well. Because here's the thing. Believing involves the mind and the heart, okay? There's nothing hidden. Everything's going to be brought to the light. That's why I don't have to worry with Jesus. I can tell Him, I'm concerned about this, or I don't want to do this. Or you know my heart on this, Lord. Whatever it is that I don't want, I can tell Him the truth, and He's not going to reject me. He's going to bring me to the light and let me see who I am and what it is inside of me. Thank you. So belief is a transfer of affection. Now, you've heard Steve teach on the noun pistis for the word belief. Let me just use that for you. That is your held beliefs, H-E-L-D, held thoughts. They're strong and welcome. It's a conviction. I welcome this, right? My belief is, that's the noun. My belief is that you are all beautiful and we're going to have a happy Valentine's Day. That's the noun. Okay, then there's the word, the verb, and it's pistuo, pistuo, pistuo. And what that verb means, it's a necessary movement. It is, I do believe that that truck is coming and you need to help me. I do believe the truck is coming. I'm going to move out of the way. Thank you. I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He's the only way. So I'm going to stop these other foolish things and get in agreement with Him because I believe. So my belief, while it can be a noun, needs to be a verb, because if I change my mind about something, what needs to follow? My actions. And the actions are going to pay attention not just to the intellect, to the emotional. So I got to get everything in agreement here. So I put this down. The gospel is going to have a radical impact on my thinking, my priorities, and my choices. You agree with that? Yeah. Have you ever believed one thing and then you found out something else and you were like, oh, wow. And so you're just trying to fix whatever it was you believed the first time, right? I remember when Charity was going to, we were going to put her on the bicycle without training wheels. And we kept raising the training wheels till really they weren't even touching the ground, okay? But yes, it was in the day before video on your phone, so I couldn't prove it to her. So we're just like, look, you can see. And we held the bike up, and it was like both ways. But she was not convinced. She did not believe it, to the fact that the intellect, even though she trusted us, got in agreement with her actions. But her little sister, who's almost 4 years younger than her, is watching her, and she sees what we're saying. And she's never even been on anything but a tricycle, okay? She jumps on the bicycle and says, I can do it, and takes off, and it was down a hill. And Steve and I are just horror and shock. And so Charity's like, bring me back my bike. And we are running down this hill trying to catch her because she has no idea how to stop the bike. And she's like, whoa, she's so happy I did this, right? Because she believed it. She put an action with what she believed. Was there a consequence? Yeah. Yeah. And when we got in front of her and stopped the bike, I remember Steve got to her and he's like, Leah, why? She goes, Dad, I did it. Right? She didn't care that it was pretty or how it worked. She knew she could do it. And I want to tell you, that little girl started riding a bike when her big sister did. Because she didn't let her intellect override her desire. So many people are letting their intellect override their desire to know Jesus. They say, well, we don't need that. We don't want to know it. But there's going to come a day when you and I keep living it, that they're not only going to want it, but they will see through us how good he is. Oh, we're going to back up. 3:16, that's great. I skipped down to 20. Let's go back to 17. Because he says in verse 17, whoever believes in him is not condemned. For whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And then we go back into the scripture I read you, because we love the darkness. Don't you think he was talking directly to the motive of Nicodemus? But in a way that exposed it and said, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of what you have to say. Let me just set you free. So from this story, I don't really know. Did Nicodemus follow Jesus? Because he's back with the council. It doesn't say he left him and went and followed Jesus. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's what I do know. We should pity people who don't choose Jesus. We should not judge them. And here's why. The love of Jesus is going to keep you from worldly addictions. Oh, that sounds so pat. That sounds like a real, you know, you're giving me a formula. Let me explain that. Nothing else can satisfy you fully except that you have to keep going back to it and eventually you become enslaved to it. Whether that's a love relationship, hey, dating, that's great. But are you addicted to needing that? Because once you're married and you don't get that same kind of attention and affection, you know, then you're like, hey, dude, what just happened here? You know, where's the door opening? You know, where's the flower? Where's the right? See, there's a reality. There's something that we're needing. Yes, don't always just think of drugs. Because there are emotional attachments that keep you addicted. But as long as we are in love with him, you can override those addictions. Because the satisfaction you get from him at the end of the day, when you are crying your heart out, when you're like, God, you know that I was innocent in that. When you get that satisfaction from him, you don't need it from men, and you will stay fulfilled. Ooh, he's good. He's so good. So here's the thing with Nicodemus. We do know from John chapter 19, we do know that he changed and that at some point he became confident. Hey, maybe it was just that after listening to the pureness of Jesus about how evil men do their deeds in the dark and knowing that they were paying Judas and all this stuff, they were scheming, it was just like lights kept going on. Right? Here's the thing, though. When he watched him, because you know the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they were excited that he was going to be killed. He's watching this. He could not get away from the truth that he was dying for him. But be careful and don't think that it's all about love. What? Tonight's message is love. It's Valentine's. It's got to be about love. It's not just about love, because love is not what caused salvation. Salvation came from grace and mercy. And on your notes, I've even given you the scriptures to look that up, because you're not going to prove me wrong. It's got to be grace and mercy and not acts, even if it's in love. That's not what's going to save me. It's by grace and grace alone, his mercy. So here's the thing. He's watching this play out in front of him, and I know from John 19 that he changed. You know how I know? Because the word says that afterwards, when Jesus had been taken from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea, who was also a wealthy man, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus Christ because he feared the Jewish leaders. Get the picture. Here's a man who's secretly a disciple because he fears Nicodemus. And here's Nicodemus, who's a secret disciple because he fears if the people find out, they'll rat him out and he'll lose his position. And neither man was rejected by Christ. This is important for you to hear tonight, because I believe in this room we've got secret seekers. And I want you to know, he does not reject you. But he is not afraid for you to see that everything he said that's going to happen is going to happen in your life. He's a healer. Ooh, somebody should have said amen right there. Y'all be, come on, wake up, Sugar Rush people. Yeah, he's a healer. He's a love when you're lonely. He is a deliverer from the thoughts that want to trap you and tell you how worthless you are. He is the set freer of those whose feet are frozen because of fear of others. And he will not leave you and he will not forsake you. He is the one who is not looking to reject you, but is waiting for the opportunity to enter in for conversation with you, even if it's in the dark. And do not think that it was a mistake that this slipped by Father God's view from heaven, and these two secret believers just happened to be the ones. Listen to me. I always think of that little kid on that YouTube. Listen to me, Ninda. Right? No, listen to me. There's something you and I have that God's going to need. There's something that you and I have that God's going to need. And it's not going to be the fancy speaker. And it's not going to be the people who have all the answers, who's listening. And it's not the people who are the most, popular and have the most, people who believe in them. I'm telling you, Jesus, there's going to be a time where he's going to have need of something you and I have that nobody else has, because he didn't say that the disciples took care of this. Where were they? Gone. Scattered. Now the fear had come on them. But these men, because of their great love and their belief, had to now not just say, I believe that could happen. My belief is that he could. No, I believe, therefore, my intellectual agreement is being overridden, and I'm now going into some kind of action. And whatever it was, because of his love, because of what he had done, that's where love comes in. He did not do this simply because it was mandated from heaven. He gave in because of his love and trust in the Father, but it was grace and mercy for you and me. So here they come in. Let me finish reading. And he says that Joseph asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. He goes in the daylight, going straight in, straight up. Can I have him? Not the beautiful, whole Jesus who's doing miracles, but can I have the bloody body that the enemy thinks he defeated? And he comes in, and when Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away, and with him came who? Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. I think it's so important that the Bible recorded that, because you and I are thinking that when I go to him when nobody else is looking, he's not listening, but he's listening, and there's going to be a time where he's going to require us to come into the light and stand up for him. And guys, it's in every one of us to do it. And it'll be the right time when he requires it of you. So they brought about, Nicodemus brought with him 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Even today, 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes would cost you. And this is in the days where there wasn't supply and demand. And taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. They knew what they were doing, and they were needed by heaven. And they took a bloody body, and they took time with it, because you're wrapping it in linen, and the pieces had to be done. And it wasn't just like big, like they were wrapping each finger. They wrapped it. Can you imagine the blood soaked in that body and the spices being put on? And this further proves that when they came in and found the burial clothes, that they must have been hardened from the liquids that had been put on them between the blood and the ointments. Listen with spiritual ears. Whatever I give to him that has value to me, he will take and use as evidence to the next person that he was there and you and I have been resurrected. Because the same spirit that raised him from the dead lives in me and you. And they knew. But the word doesn't say. I don't know after that what happened to these two men, but I know they played their part. And I want to tell you, there's some of you in here tonight, and you're going through some bloody situations. And you're putting the ointment, you're putting the aloe. You're putting the ointment and the aloe and wrapping the wounds of other people. And I want to tell you something. I'm never going to do anything for God, and you're never going to do anything for God that he's not going to take care of you too. The devil wants you to believe that whatever you're given, it's going to cost you too much. This will be the end of you. They're going to wear you out. Listen, if you're in something where people are wearing you out, you need to take it to the Lord and either say, renew me and refresh me, or God, give me the wisdom to cut off this addiction of where I need somebody to be needed by instead of me being needed by you and used by you. Did you follow that? Because you can love being needed and be wrong. So man, he's coming in here. Here's Nicodemus, the one who feared and the one who feared. Thank you. The one who feared and the one he was afraid of came together. What if each one of us in this room that had fears overrode our fears and just started linking up and getting something done? Their love motivated their belief. It was a call to action regardless. And the lesson learned here, guys, is this. The satisfaction was no longer drawn from intelligence, wealth, recreation, or approval of men. The satisfaction only came in serving God, and that's what brought them out of the darkness into the light. You want to get rid of darkness? You want to get rid of depression? You want to get rid of your fears of people? Start serving God, and he'll take care of you. When I'm looking, when I'm focused on him, I don't have to worry about my back, because the word says he's got my back. And if I'm operating in the dark, I'm always wondering, what's behind me? Y'all, I'm just telling you right now, y'all better be careful. That little Savannah Chapel, don't let her come up. That girl, she hides in this church. She be scaring you out of the dark places. But I don't have to worry in the supernatural. I mean this. I go to him, God, they hurt me. That hurt me. And I tell him at night, God, that hurt me. I still go to him in the dark. I still go to him when no one knows. And he doesn't say, well, you didn't do that good enough because now you're in the flesh. What he does is hold me until the flesh silences and he breathes back in me new life. Says, come away from that. Come on. Let me put me in you. So here's the thing. I want you to take your notes. I want you to look on the back. There's this little heart on the back. You see it? Yep. Here's what I want you to do. I'm talking about staying focused on him. Somebody count how many words are in that little sentence, in that little verse there. What'd you get? 25. Ooh, fast counter. All right. Somebody count from the top 12. Who'll do that? Somebody count. Okay. Thank you, cute girl. Who will count from the bottom up 12? Mason. All right. Go ahead. Count 12 down from the top, and you count 12 from the bottom, and let's see what the middle word is there. Got it? What is it? Yeah. Stay focused on the sun. Did you ever take a test or something? They'll say in 25 words or less. Yeah? Here's 25 words explaining the beauty of heaven, and it's centered on the sun. I think there's a word there for us tonight. Jesus is going to meet you right where you are. Jesus will not let us meet in deception. You can think you're getting one over on him, and the whole time he's just planting life inside of you that's going to come to life at another time in light. Jesus isn't concerned about what I know. It's what I'm focused on that matters. That's why I can say stupid to him, and he knows at least I'm telling him. I'm being honest. God, I don't know how this is going to work out. God, I'm afraid. God, I don't want to do it. And Jesus keeps the shut-off mind open for truth. Listen, I don't care how long you've known him. Can I get somebody to back me up on this, that there's still going to be a place where we're going to doubt him? I got 8 or 9 truthful people in here, okay? Y'all don't need to worry. Your faces are not being, it's in Facebook Live, okay? Here's the thing. We're humans. But he's made provision for my flesh, not so I will walk in the flesh, but when I walk in the flesh, he will protect me and speak life to me, get my mind on the right track. And once I've got my mind on the right track, my feet are going to follow because I'm focused on him. And that's what he wants to do for us tonight. That is love. That's not what gets me saved. I'm saved by the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to be saved. And it's not by works. And it's not by popularity. And it's not by somebody twisting something in the dark to you and getting you to doubt you. The way I'm going to make it is to say, God, thank you for Jesus. I believe that he died for me. And just like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, you're going to come out of the darkness and into the light when you realize what he's done for you. Because all the knowledge, all the wealth, all the acceptance couldn't do it for him. But once you've had the word, you'll begin to see where the darkness is. You don't have to hate him. I've already told you, feel sorry for him. But don't feel sorry for yourself. Self-pity will keep you in a dark place. And pitying others will lead you to the light of Christ because you'll pray for them. And when you pray for them, what have I always told you? If you take care of God's business, thank you. He'll take care of yours. So tonight, rest in this fact. Believe all your weight. Fully lean on all of your being, the object of our affections and our emotions. The object of my motivation. Keep centered on the sun. Keep him in the center of your heart. Because you're in the center of his. Hey, what's in my heart tonight? What's in my heart tonight? I don't come out here and share this with you because I think I got some wisdom to give you that's going to set you free. I'm telling you, I'm asking God, what's in my heart? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And if it's hard for you to do what you're doing, chances are you're doing it for him and not you. If it's uncomfortable for you to keep believing his word, chances are you're making strides in faith. But the whole time you're making strides in faith, you're becoming more dependent on him, and you're going to stay focused on him quicker, and you'll come out of the darkness faster because you'll know what he's done for you. Stand with me tonight, loved ones. He's going to keep us focused. Don't be surprised. Doesn't this sound like the scripture? Don't be surprised when these trials and fiery temptations and trials, fiery trials come upon you. Why? Because he wants to keep us focused on him. You ever just think, man, I hope I'm just, nothing's going wrong right now. I hope this keeps up. Stay focused on him. Chances are it won't. But at the same time, maybe there's somebody who needs to see you and me go through something to prove who he is. It's not just his word that validates him. It's how you and I are living the word. Because everybody's going to know. I can't believe she's doing that. There's got to be more. There's got to be more to this God thing because look what she's doing. There's got to be more to this because that Cynthia Smith was going in for surgery. Had a heart blockage. They saw it. Scheduled the surgery and get in there. And then God says, instead of a blockage, let's just have a test that there's no blockage. And by the way, since you're in there, let her know her arteries are clear too. Right? That's who he is. Because whatever you think is meant to destroy you, he's going to use it to give you evidence and proof that nothing can touch you outside of his plan. And if it's in his plan, you're going to be the man. Right? He's going to help us. So, Lord, tonight, we just lift up our hearts to you, God. Any place that I'm walking in darkness, Lord, whether I'm afraid of men and their opinion of me, God, or whether I'm afraid of those in authority or power, tonight, God, we say we are unashamed. We are unashamed. We are the unashamed to say that we love you, God. We are unashamed to say that we are dependent on you, God. For that dependence does not make me weak, but it makes my weakness have strength in you. Tonight, God, we love you. We are grateful for you. Help the ones in darkness, God. Help the ones in our nation, God, and in our homes, God, who believe the lies that they can figure things out, and now they're so trapped. God, set the captive free in the name of Jesus. And we're going to give you the glory for it. You're already doing it. We see how you're aligning it, God. We're grateful. We're grateful, Lord. And we're going to believe, God, with love and not judgment, the way you're still believing for us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Woo, thank you. Now listen, if you came in late and you didn't get your Valentine or your notes, I think there's still some back there, aren't there? Thank you. Lauren, wave your hand. Show them where the basket is. Yes. Yes. Know where the basket is. Thank you. Don't forget the sign-up sheet for Workday. We're excited. We're going to get some special things done.